fasten your seatbelts and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Every day is like a blank canvas. You know you can paint it any way you want it. You can draw a black cloud. You can make the sunshine color in a rainbow. Or use black and white. Open up your eyes and... In creative placemaking, partners from public, private, nonprofit, and community sectors strategically shape the physical and social character of a neighborhood, town, tribe, city, or region around arts and cultural activities. That's a quote from the National Endowment for the Arts. This is Route 51. Since 2016, Create Portage County has positioned itself to lead community development efforts through arts advocacy and creative placemaking in central Wisconsin. Create Portage County supports public arts and cultural experiences, free live music, and the Idea Center devoted to fostering creative industry. They work to empower Portage County residents to tackle long-standing community challenges and are exploring possible renovations to turn Stevens Point's abandoned Fox Theater into a new hub for creative enterprise. Today on Route 51, we welcome Greg Wright and Bill Sherrill of Create Portage County to tell us about creative placemaking, the economic impact of creative economies in central Wisconsin, and the organization's plans for renovating the Fox Theater. We want to hear your questions about Create Portage County and its efforts to promote cultural creativity in central Wisconsin. Call us at 800-780-9742. That number again is 800-780-9742. Let's quickly introduce our guests. Greg Wright is the Executive Director of Create Portage County. Much of Greg's work focuses on developing small-town applications of big-city placemaking and entrepreneurship investments with the target of imagining a thriving new economy model for small and rural communities. In 2015, Milwaukee Biz Times named Greg the innovator to watch for the arts in Wisconsin. Bill Sherrill helped found Create Portage County. He is the co-CEO of Team Sherrill Companies and serves on the boards of many community organizations, including the Stevens Point Sculpture Park and the Stevens Point Area Public School District Education Enrichment Fund Advisory Committee. In 2011, he received the Arts in the Community Award from Arts Wisconsin. He is president of Create Portage County's Board of Directors. Greg, Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Our first question, Bill, I'd like to direct to you. In 2016, the Arts Alliance of Portage County rebranded itself as Create Portage County. Tell us about this transition and how Create Portage County came to be and what vision guides Create.
Back in the day, the organization actually started from a grant from the state for the identification of an arts umbrella organization in central Wisconsin. And we started Arts Alliance Portage County at that point. From there, we've always from the beginning wanted to look at economic impact, saying how the arts affect our community and make it a vibrant place, but also economically. So we've always had that focus from way back in the day. Along the way, the language has changed, and there's always, you know, new buzzwords at times. So, but the creative economy concept came up in saying there were more people who understood that arts were affecting a community and making it valuable. So the Arts Alliance at that point shifted, and we started to talk about the creative economy. At that same time, there was some conversation within the Stevens Point, Central Wisconsin area around entrepreneurship and how does that necessarily focus on arts, creativity. And within our community, there was conversation around the fact that there wasn't a place for support for entrepreneurship. All of that was kind of happening at the same time. And as we were talking to people around the Arts Alliance at that point, getting involved with these things and having those conversations, people kind of looked at it and said, well, why is an arts organization talking to us about these things that in their mind were typically business and that type of world? So Greg, the board, myself, we all had these conversations and said, you know, is the name identifying what we are doing? Hence, we changed the name to Create Portage County, which better reflects all the creativity that we're doing, the creativity from entrepreneurship to artists to innovators to all of that within the community.
How has the community accepted that transition?
I think they've accepted it rather seamlessly, in a stream, but seamlessly from the standpoint of you know, the people who didn't necessarily recognize Arts Alliance and what the work that we were doing have a better understanding of the work that we're doing as CREATE and get on board with why we're talking about those conversations more quickly.
And what is, as president of the board of CREATE Portage County, what is your vision and the organization's vision for the future, for now and the future?
I think for now, it really is that support of its baseline of creativity, placemaking, and really enhancing community development. That there's a lot of, you know, another buzzword around community development, but it takes many organizations within a community to make it vibrant, to make it a place that people want to live. And CREATE Portage County really wants to just be at the table, be a part of those conversations, be a part of formulating what are the pieces that move the community forward into the next century.
And CREATE is centered on three pillars, if you will. Placemaking, mm-hmm. as you already mentioned, Bill, the Idea Center, and experiences. And we'll focus on the Idea Center in our third segment today. Now, I'd like us to kind of focus on the concepts of placemaking and experiences. Greg, the Project for Public Spaces defines placemaking as both an overarching idea and a hands-on approach for improving a neighborhood, city, or region as it inspires people to collectively reimagine and reinvent public spaces as the heart of every community. How does CREATE define placemaking, and what are the intended impacts for the community?
Sure. So I think it's always helpful to listeners at home who are interacting with the term of creative placemaking for the first time. There's a really great article by Ann Markison and the National Endowment for the Arts that explains how to use the arts to affect community change. And we're working with an intern right now, and he just read the article and talked about how really creative placemaking is about identifying what the soul of a community is and then using the arts to make more visible that soul. And so it's really about community identity. It uses design, public art, arts and culture activities and experiences to bring people into shared community spaces, to get them to interact more, to have a better understanding of each other and where there is value in the community. And so a lot of our investments have been focused around that. So when we do a mural, we do a mural that tries to capture the history of our community. When we do a sculpture, we try to make sure that sculpture gets people into certain spaces or provides them an experience to think about something that's going on in the community in a different way.
How does that, you know, go a little bit more in depth on how that affects the community itself, not only the community from the business side of things, as Bill was talking about a little bit ago, but community as a whole?
Sure. So I think one thing that's really interesting about Wisconsin specifically is that if you look at recent data that comes out about entrepreneurship, Wisconsin has been the slowest state for entrepreneurship according to the metrics that are out there. And we think a lot of that has to do with the fact that its creative identity isn't celebrated as much here. And so a lot of our work with focusing on placemaking is trying to get people to understand how much of our history has been creative, how much of our economy is based on makers and innovators, and to celebrate that more publicly so that people grow up in a space where they feel like they are likely to be creative themselves. And so we're trying to make that creative identity specifically in Portage County as visible as possible. So we celebrate the brewery culture. We celebrate Key Mobility and its wheelchair manufacturer. We celebrate new tech innovations. But again, we do that all through this connection with the arts so that people feel this really strong sense of possibility in the community in hopes that that starts to spark the next generation of innovators and entrepreneurs that are going to come out of our community.
Now, Bill, you've been at the forefront of creating experiences throughout the county, like the Sculpture Park, film festivals, and so on. How do experiences play into CREATE's overall mission, and what are some of other examples of experiences that are being planned for 2019?
I think let me take one step back, and even, you know, we're talking about experiences.
Mm-hmm.
When we started, we talked about events. We talked about, you know, gatherings. So that term, even just experiences, to trying to define it is different today. I was just reading an article about how people have moved from, I attended that event, they're all over. I can go to the movies, I can go to the party, I can go wherever. But now we have transitioned to what is different that we can offer in our community or as a community and have an experience that someone remembers. They meet up with people, they make connections, they network. It's just a different focus as to why people are gathering together. So I think in that light, as Create, we were looking and said we had a lot of events going on, but how do we transition that for people to literally experience the community, not to just attend something? So one of the core functions that we came up with was the Phantom Gallery parties. That really was a brainchild of many of the Phantom Gallery concepts that many communities across the state have had, where you have an abandoned building, you put up some artwork in those storefronts, and you have a Phantom Gallery. So taking that, and then you say, all right, maybe what happens if we invite people into the building or into a space that is not typically available on a regular basis to people to go into? That's a new experience. It's a new place that somebody may never have gone to before. We had a facility in an old potato warehouse that, you know, how often have you ever gone to a potato warehouse for a party? Probably not very often, but that is an experience that someone can feel like. And now there's also a connection to, oh, wow, I didn't know we had potato industry as big as it was in our area. All of those things kind of connect. So that was kind of our transition from that event to experiences. We want to continue down that path, as well as I think where we want to go in the future is those experiences become more organic from people who are engaged and want to be creative themselves. So that if we have experiences around film, that those individuals who are passionate around film, that us as an organization are not necessarily creating this and forcing people to attend something that may or may not be interested in, but it's the film culture within your community that we support them to have their own experience grow. And those people who may say, oh, I didn't even know that was going on, can attend as well.
So we're talking about the experience of the actual thing going
right.
on, but also experiencing that thing in the community itself that, you know, people
– as place.
As place. So people over time can grow up in a community and not really know their community, where things are and mm-hmm. how to connect. What you're doing, it seems, is just bringing that all together. Is that – the right way to look at that?
I would agree with that. I mean, yeah. There was a concept of just, you know, we always like to look and say, how can other communities do this? I mean, we're not this unique, amazing thing. That one of the concepts that we are having with regards to just using your public parks, that how do you gather in different experiences within public parks around your community and to energize those spaces that, you know, connecting two different things together.
Great, go ahead.
And I think part of what's cool about the way we've used these experiences too is to make sure that we're highlighting often under-recognized people in the community that are doing really great work. So the Phantom Galleries are a great example. Part of the reason we did that was to expose the community, often people who weren't likely to go into a gallery type space, to the incredible local art scene, each time featuring, you know, 5 to 7 new local artists, and having people, again, often people who don't consider themselves arts people, walk away going, I can't believe there's this much talent in our community. Similarly, we do these Levitt Amp concert series. So we do 10 free weeks of live music in Pifner Park each summer. And we've used that space to expose people to local food trucks, to innovators. We've had entrepreneurs who are, you know, innovating new tech gadgets come to that space and set up there as well. And so, again, we're trying to show people how pervasive creativity is in our community each time we do one of these experiences.
You just mentioned the Levitt Amp series. The Create has received another $25,000 matching grant for this summer. This would be the third time that you've received the grant from the Levitt Amp mm-hmm. Foundation. How does that impact the community, not only from an economic standpoint, but from the whole placemaking and experience concept?
I think for us, Levitt was really the first time we were able to show the community very visibly what we were trying to do. We had made efforts before that. The Phantom Gallery parties were, you know, a really good foray into this work. But, you know, we're lucky if we get 150 people to show up to a Phantom Gallery party. We've had 2,000 people at a Levitt Amp concert, and often people who are not necessarily as well engaged with our network. And for us, really, the Levitt concerts were about activating, we call it activating the lawn in a way that has a sense of what we want the community to look like as we do this work in the future. And so it wasn't just about the music. It was about how do we get the community interacting? How do we get certain types of food there? How do we get more diversity on the stage? How do we get all these different pieces coming together to give people a sense of what it's like to live in a really collaborative and creative community? And so Levitt just, you know, the grant resource gave us an opportunity to really invest in showing that to people. And then we could talk about that at that series. And that, you know, I think the shift we saw in like knocking on doors to be like, hey, listen to us, we've got a really cool idea, to other people calling us to say we want to work with you, really happened after that 10 weeks of summer music the first year.
The exact situation of I had people who I've known for years in the community come up at 11 Amp and actually say, I now get what Create does. Like, and that they actually provided some financial support following that experience and understanding what was possible. The other thing that I think that Levitt Amp and getting that momentum going is I'm also part of the Riverfront Jazz Festival that we had this last year. We had the largest attendance on Labor Day that we ever had. And I really believe that it was a direct connection for the community to get comfortable with coming down to a particular place, having an experience, understanding what it took. Oh, I bring my soda, I bring my beer, it's for sale, I bring a sandwich, I meet up friends, I know how to do this, and now there's an additional music thing on that weekend, and I can go and do the exact same extension of what I've already done with Levitt.
And music is that great connecting piece.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the whole point of the Levitt Foundation, right, is that they believe the power of free live music connects communities together.
And then after Levitt, usually you go down and have dinner somewhere downtown. It's walkable. You know, all of those connections to creating more place and experiences within your community that are fresh and new to people.
One of Create's goals is addressing the 16,000-person workforce shortage projected for Central Wisconsin in the next several years by focusing on quality of life in the area. A new report from the North Central Wisconsin Plan Commission has revised that count to 6,582 by 2028. That's a 60% reduction in that workforce shortage, with the bulk of that being reported in Portage County. That seems to be pretty incredible. How much of that do you attribute to Create's influence, and which strategies have been the most effective in addressing that issue?
I think one of the things that's always challenging about the type of work we do is the benefits are often indirect. You know, it's hard. You know, if we were doing a literacy program and we could say we got this many books into kids' hands, it's a little bit easier to draw those connections. And we know that none of the work we do on our own. You know, the impact that we are able to have, we have in partnership with a lot of other community organizations that are committed to these same goals with us. I think where we feel pretty proud of that shift from, you know, 16,000 people to about 7,000 people is that you look around Central Wisconsin, a lot of people have been talking about this workforce shortage, but there haven't been a lot of organizations that have really stepped in with this is what we think our solution should be. And that really motivated the change to Create from the Arts Alliance, was owning that challenge as part of what we would address. And a lot of the research we looked into suggested that millennials were looking for a high quality of life. And so, again, we know that there are a lot of other factors as well. There are trends just nationally that are shifting in terms of people thinking about leaving bigger cities for smaller communities again. Housing is much more affordable in smaller communities, so that is affecting how people live as well. But we think our work is making it as easy as possible for people who want to choose a smaller city to choose Central Wisconsin because they know that they're not having to give up the quality of life and the amenities of their life that they got very used to living in more urban communities.
And I think, you know, on top of all of that, it's just a lot of dialogue that, I mean, you know, many things have transitioned since we began, even just in the last 2 years, of businesses identifying that more so than ever, the quality of life, the quality of place, and the attraction and recruitment of new employees and people to the community. That connection was not there 5, 7, 10 years ago. That people always like to talk about it, but the fact of knowledge, just common knowledge of people understanding, like someone wants to the whole package, that how many times where now there's dual incomes, you need to have a community that both working people within the household want to live in and want to raise children or just be a part of that community. And that is just part of general dialogue, which has really been positive.
Our guests today on Route 51 are Greg Wright and Bill Sherrill from Create Portage County. I'm Rick Ryer. When we return, we'll discuss creative industries and the economic role they play in communities. There's room for your questions, your comments as well. Are you in Portage County, and do you have questions about what's ahead for Create Portage County? Do you live in another part of our region and wonder how your community can be involved with something like this to revitalize your community? Call us at 800-780-9742. Again, that phone number is 1-800-780-9742. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Going on everywhere, like the clickety-clack of a train on the track. It's got rhythm to spare. I can't get enough of living in the city. I get off the bus at Dexter and Denny. The sun's coming up over the lake to my east, yeah, and I feel the love in the rhythm and the music of the street, yeah, and no one is gonna take that away from me. So I pick up a real change paper as I walk on down the street, yeah, because vagabonds and troubadours filled this city on punk rock chords, and I
This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rick Ryer. With me today is Bill Sherrill and Greg Wright from Create Portage County, and we're talking about how creative economies can help attract young professionals to central Wisconsin. I'm Rick Ryer. We are here to listen to your questions as well. You can call with your comments or questions at 800-780-9742. Greg, what are creative industries, and how do you define a creative economy?
So creative industries are typically organizations that incorporate some elements of the arts into their business. So you think the most obvious example of that would be like film, music, television, local arts, visual arts. But we also see an increasing amount of that same type of work happening across all sectors these days. So, you know, if you're in the IT profession, design becomes such an important part of that. There's very little IT companies these days that don't have significant graphic design work, that don't have some sort of sound integration into their apps or technology. And so there is like the actual specific jobs that are creative sector jobs. But then again, we're seeing this predominance of creativity and the arts integrating into most other sectors as well.
And how do creative industries and economies benefit small communities like Stevens Point?
I think that, you know, there again, it's that aspect of vibrancy. It's the aspect of people who are bringing those skill sets to the work every day are also wanting to utilize that creativity of those skill sets, not only at work, but also in their personal life. One of the things that millennials are really wanting to do is to activate and take the skills that they have in their work and to make their community better. And that is just that transition that improves everybody. And I think it's, you know, in communities, Central Wisconsin, it's in the state, it's everywhere, that it all helps to rise that activity.
Well, that's really an interesting comment about what millennials are thinking about is they look for careers, they look for communities to live in. It's what Forbes magazine calls the double bottom line. It's all about the social impact of their work.
Right.
How does that feed into what you're doing with Create?
Some of the research we've seen says that up to 94% of millennials, when interviewed, want to use their skill set to have impact on their community outside of just their job, right? And so a lot of what we're trying to do through spaces like the Idea Center is to give people a place where they can connect to other people in the community that are doing that work. One of the biggest benefits I see in small town America, if they want to step into this more innovative and creative place, is that change can happen so much faster in a small town. It doesn't often. But it can, because you're talking about how much easier it is to access the mayor, business leaders. Again, just how many fewer people you have to get on board, how much less political capital you have an influence in your town. And so, smaller communities are just so much better suited for creative impact. And so as we are trying to explain to businesses how they can do a better job of attracting and retaining younger professionals to Central Wisconsin, one of those things is to provide opportunities for their employees to have impact outside of their work, whether that's volunteer time off, whether that is access to a resource like the Idea Center, whether that is being somewhat flexible with their hours so that if they're, in a band or if they are doing some community work, they can maybe get time off to do that work and do their job in other places. And with the internet and remote working becoming more and more predominant, that's easy for a lot of companies to support.
And I think that's one of the roles that Create has been very successful at, is taking those, whether it's a millennial or anyone's idea in a community or from the community, and activating or giving it the ability to run with the idea. For example, house concerts that we put on, that really came out of one person at an event saying, hey, my parents do or are connected with this in Green Bay. Would this be something that Create would like to do? And she said it to me, and I said, sure, let me get Greg involved, and why not give it a shot? It's like, that sounds really fun. And there's been many experiences over the years that the organization has given a try. The house concerts have been pretty successful. It's something that's great and really vibrant. But there's other things that we've had ideas, we've run with them for a couple of years, and we've let go, that things change, that it's always that attempt and that willingness to just give something a try if somebody has a passion about it.
And that is like my favorite part of my job. Like, I feel like my job is helping people make their dreams come true, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when we talk about creative impact and arts, business, and community impact, but like what we've basically said to the community around us is, we will say yes to any idea. You come in with your idea. If you want to get it done, we will say yes, and we will serve as project managers that try to help you get it done. And we're going to invest as many resources as we can in time and energy and technology and funds, if we have them, to trying to help all these other creative projects get off the ground. So really, more and more, Create has become much less about what we do and much more about what the people in the community want to get done. And then we just use our resources to like help those people succeed.
Is this concept a trend, simply a trend, or is it really here to stay?
Well, the Kauffman Foundation suggests this is the new model for economic development. So mm-hmm. The Kauffman Foundation, if you're not familiar with that organization, is the leading research nonprofit for entrepreneurship in the country. And they have just released what they call the entrepreneurial ecosystem building playbook. And that whole playbook is designed to move communities from old models of economic development, where you're trying to attract businesses to your community, to this new model, which is trying to generate new businesses from your community. What they found is, if you're trying to create jobs, almost all new jobs are built within the first 5 years of a new company. So if you want to grow jobs in your community, the way you do that is by growing new businesses in those first 5 years of business. And so Kauffman Foundation very strongly believes this is the shift. And they simplify it down to people plus culture equals everything. Like, that's their fundamental formula. If you have the right people, you have the right culture, you will grow your economy.
Well, and speaking of models, what models have you looked at in developing Create Portage County and this whole concept of creative economies and a creative industry? What models of similar size communities have you looked at?
Similar size communities are hard to find, I will say that. Almost everything we look at right now is happening in more urban communities.
Right.
I think that has been, you talked about that in my introduction. That's been a lot of our shift, has been looking at what is succeeding in urban communities and really filtering it through that small community lens. So we've looked very closely. Chattanooga is a really great example of a city they have invested in really strong. They have the fastest Wi-Fi that's publicly available for their community in the Northwest Hemisphere. So they're called the Gig City because they have a gigabyte of free internet for everybody. They have some really great innovation centers there as well. There is a community in Whitesburg, Kentucky that is more our size, that has a place called the Apple Shop. It's Appalachia, so APPAL shop, not apple like the fruit. But they're a local media hub, and they are creating access to free resources for people that are doing, that want to do storytelling, be that podcasting, video production, plays, other things like that. Again, we are seeing these innovation centers, these community shared spaces pop up in a lot of communities, but they tend to be mostly in urban communities right now.
And I think from my perspective, the word flexibility as an organization, you know, what is our model is flexibility and change. And no one likes change necessarily, but our board and several of the people who have been on the board for many years will say every year it changes. Something new is different in that we always are moving forward versus staying with the status quo, and that you have to be responsive, flexible, and be willing to change to what's happening in the community. And that to me is really the underpinning that what the work we were talking about, and if we had this conversation 5 years ago, it probably would have been slightly different. There's some things that would dramatically have changed in the last 5 years, and that we just need to, as an organization, continue to stay flexible and ride that change of what needs are coming up within the community.
And another one of your goals is to create, or I should say attract, a creative class to the region. What is that?
So creative class people are people who are, again, these innovators and artists and makers that are often the heart of a 21st century economy. The maker movement is another part that we haven't talked a lot about, but we're seeing a really big resurgence and people want to consume locally produced goods. And that's becoming more and more trendy. One of the arguments we're trying to make is if you're trying to attract those makers, you can do that well if there are good resources for those people to have access to. So whether that's co-working spaces or shared technology or maker spaces, whether that is other sorts of programs to incentivize that sort of work. But again, what we have been trying to pitch to people is if people know they can move to Stevens Point and get started on that career, whether that's innovation, whether that's arts, whether that's some other form of making, if they know that it's a lower cost of living and there are really great resources, even if those people's careers explode and they end up leaving Stevens Point for some bigger market, having had that work happen in our community and having had our identity be built around being very supportive to people who are doing those projects is in our best interest long term.
And I also think it's part of that is just also activating the people who are already in your community around creativity. I always strongly believe that there's a lot of people doing a lot of creative work who are sitting in their home, in their garage, on the weekends, and that just don't have the impetus or a pathway to necessarily make that into something that they would really like to have happen, but they just don't know how. And to provide that cultural connection, and I think the Greg is that perfect example of you really only need one person to call. Like one person can change so many lives of just saying, yes, we can help you, or yes, you can do that, and just be that little personal coach on someone's shoulder to take a little bit of that risk to step forward to take what they've been doing at home or behind the scenes and turn it into something greater.
So Greg, you'd be considered some sort of an evangelist of this whole concept.
I know. That's a word I probably don't want to associate with. But definitely coach. Coach is something we talk about a lot. Like we are definitely trying to be, partners to people. I think that's when you're talking about creative enterprises, and I can say this personally as somebody who has done some writing in my past, like they're really isolating fields. You're often doing the work by yourself. You're often you may have a really well-developed creative skill and not have any of the business knowledge to follow that out. Or the other way around, we have a lot of people who have really great business or tech skills who don't have the creative skill set to see their project through. And so what we find is just that people don't want to do this by themselves. And so instead of having all this work happen in basements and garages and living rooms where people are in isolation, to instead invite them into a community, yes, I am kind of central to that connective tissue, but my favorite part is passing people off to like, hey, this person knows what you don't know, and this person knows what you don't know. And that's almost always not me. What's great is I don't need to know a whole lot. I just need to know the people who do.
Connect the dots. Now, there have been some criticisms of creative economies, not specifically to what you're doing in Portage County, but the concept as a whole. And some of them that suggest that the benefits could instead be attributed to participants' education levels and that creative economies contribute to the gentrification in areas that adopt these creative economic policies. On your website, you mentioned that one of CREATE's goals is dismantling barriers that have historically limited access to creative work. How is CREATE making participation in creative economies more affordable for historically underrepresented groups already present in the community?
So that's become, I think, a growing commitment for our organization to really tackle this big problem of gentrification. When we first started digging into innovation spaces, one of the things that was warned to me is a lot of them become basically social clubs for wealthy white men. And that's largely because they have entrance fees to get into the environment that preclude a lot of other people from being able to participate. And so CREATE has done a lot of work to make sure that we are aware of those challenges. And so one of the biggest things is that we have leveraged a lot of our own resources and a lot of our sponsorship resources to keep the cost of participating in the Idea Center really affordable. So right now it's $10 a month to be a member of the Idea Center or $100 a year. We have a member who moved here from Boulder who was paying $300 a month for a similar space. So there's that affordability piece. And we do in that even give people some key fobs for free if, again, they can't afford that $10 a month. We also at the same time are doing a lot of work to have conversations about dismantling racism, dismantling socioeconomic barriers. We have a women in entrepreneurship group that's up and running. We are trying to make sure we are working with people to come up with real solutions to those problems.
And we'll be getting to more of that discussion about the Idea Center itself, what it provides, and the opportunities that are available to folks throughout Portage County and elsewhere to come in and participate. Right now, you're listening to CREATE Portage County's Greg Wright and Bill Sherrill on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rick Ryer. Stay tuned as we talk about the Idea Center and the Fox Theater downtown Stevens Point. This is Route 51. When the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on the bay.
Your kicks on Route 66. Now it winds from Chicago to L.A.
From Route 66 to Route 51, this is Wisconsin Public Radio. You can join the conversation at 800-780-9742, 800-780-9742. We're talking about CREATE Portage County with Bill Sherrill and Greg Wright. The driving force behind CREATE Portage County is the Idea Center. In fact, you are proposing relocating it to Main Street in Stevens Point to be the hub of what you're calling the Innovation District. We'll get into that in just a bit, but first tell us what the Idea Center is and what services are provided. Greg, let's start with you.
Sure. So the Idea Center is an innovation center. It is a co-working space where we provide everything from shared technology resources to individual workspaces to group meeting spaces in hopes of supporting as best we can the physical needs of and community needs of any creative projects in Portage County, Central Wisconsin. We've had people as far as Minocqua come down and use the space. Again, we have maker spaces. So we've got right now a 3D printing lab. We've got a new 3D printer coming that will be the world's or the Wisconsin's only publicly available large-scale 3D printer. We have a video production studio, a podcast studio, other maker technologies we're looking at investing in as well. And then again, a lot of just general workspaces for people to come in and do their creative work.
Now, you mentioned $10 a month or $100 a year to become a member of the Idea Center. How does that – or that can't be the only way this is funded with this new 3D printer and everything else that you're providing folks to come in and to participate with.
So we try to leverage our nonprofit status as effectively as possible to give resources back to the community. Mm-hmm. So we do have a donor network that supports the organization. We have sponsors, business sponsors that sponsor a lot of the events we do. We do have some events that are ticketed events that are that raise some funds for us, and we very aggressively go after grant funding. So most of the technology that we have in the Idea Center, we were able to purchase with grants. And again, what that gets to the conversation we were having before the break about really trying to make sure that we are reducing the financial barrier to doing creative projects. We know right now the number one predictor in the U.S. of success of an entrepreneur is their wealth, right? If they have the money to wait out the amount of time it's going to take to make their business successful, or if they have the investment capital to rush that process along, they're much more likely to be successful. And so what we want to do is to say in central Wisconsin, that's not going to determine your success. We are going to use our community resources to provide that support network so somebody at any economic level from any background, again, can succeed if they have the right idea.
Bill, what kinds of businesses, local organizations that currently operate out of the Idea Center?
There are actually the individuals range dramatically, and I think more so than not of there are, you know, designers that are doing work. There's also remote people who are working for companies that are domiciled somewhere else and that they just use the space to come in and, you know, get out of their own house and, you know, like saying, I'm going to work somewhere else. Mm-hmm. There's people, again, who are starting up individual businesses that are using it as their workspace in their office. So, I mean, I think that there is a wide variety, and I think that the biggest thing to me about that space is that it creates a visible access and a visibility to those individuals. That so often within communities, people are talking about the gig economy. There again, buzzwords that necessarily, what does that really mean? And so often when we start to talk about and identify the Idea Center, that our community leadership and businesses who do who have brick and mortar, who are doing some sponsorship things, don't always necessarily understand the volume of people within the community who are doing that individual work and starting up and have a place to go. So it creates a visibility of those individuals. And I think it's 35 states and one and a connection to Canada. I'm looking at Greg for this confirmation.
34, but we'll take 35.
All right, okay, fine. That, you know, that they interact with out of this Idea Center, that we have relationship and that they're doing work with that number of other states. Well, if you don't know that or walk through the space, you have no idea that that person even exists.
Yeah, I think one of the really interesting changes to how the economy is playing out right now is the stat I saw most recently was that in 2016, 43% of workers worked at least part of their job remotely, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have more and more people that are working as independent contractors. Or like my sister works for a company in San Francisco but lives in Stevens Point. She's not commuting back and forth every day. And so I think that often becomes a very invisible part of the economy in these communities, and that is more and more important. And what we're finding especially is for trailing spouses, you know, if somebody moves here for a job in central Wisconsin, their spouse is often moving with a job too, but that job just doesn't, you know, isn't located here. And so to get that spouse connected to a social network and friends and peers and resources, having these co-working spaces available becomes really important.
And this opportunity that the Idea Center presents, it's not only for a certain type of individual coming in to collaborate with others and be connected, but it is truly multi-generational.
Yes, definitely. Yes, yesterday, I mean, and just take yesterday alone, we started the morning with a group of wood carvers that are mostly retired people, I would say, on average, probably in their 70s for that group, and ended the night with a wearable art group that was making fashion out of trash bags with digital projection mapping involved in that, that were all either current college students or recent college grads. And so we see a really wide gamut of people from all age groups, and I think that interaction between those groups has been one of our favorite things.
Create is currently considering a capital campaign to renovate the Fox Theater in downtown Stevens Point for a new home for the Idea Center. Why will the Fox Building make a good home for the Idea Center?
Let me take one step back on that about the Fox. And it was donated by the Sanders family back in 2013 when the mall came down in downtown Stevens Point. Mm-hmm. And that donation was made to create Portage County, that then put it into a separate organization just to go through and have a separate board and operate as an individual thing because it didn't know where it was going to go at that point. Over the years, there's been many plans plans and ideas brought to the concept of what could be done with the building. None of them really have in the end been sustainable plans. So as this has moved through, obviously there's a direct connection with CREATE and what's happening with this building. And through this dialogue, most recently about a year and a half ago, maybe there was a group of individuals in the community for a New Era workshop, it was called, that got together, and out of complete happenstance and unpredicted, it really came back to as the number one community vote, that literally there was a process that voted that something to do and use the Fox for a community gathering space was the number one voted thing. That really brought us back to say, okay, CREATE and the Fox group, we need to look at this and how does that engage with where we are as an organization? And then the Idea Center is really as part of a county building right now that does not have a long-term future. So the two kind of all of a sudden became connected, that the Idea Center and what started as a pilot has been successful from our perspective, and that needs to continue in the community. Most everybody is in agreement with that, but where do you do it? How do you move it forward? And then the availability of the Fox building without necessarily any other sustainable projects or plans going forward, the two came connected very quickly.
Okay. And what additional technology and or programming will the space allow?
I think there are three really big benefits that moving the Idea Center into that facility will allow. One is the obvious one of just space. So we do have programming that we've already outgrown the space in the Idea Center. And our largest room can fit about 40 people in it. There are times when we're getting more than 40 people to show up for programming, specifically in terms of conferences and trainings and some of that work, but also in terms of, you know, we have a Spectral Micro Cinema, we're showing indie film, and we're often getting to capacity when we're doing those types of programs. And so having that additional physical space to grow the programming that we've already started in the Idea Center is a big part of it. I think the other really big thing is visibility. We are in a location that is close to downtown, but it's still very hard for people to find. And in a day when it's tough to get the word out because there's so much news out everywhere, we have had a hard time getting as many community members aware of the projects that are happening out of the Idea Center as we would like. Having a Main Street, heart of downtown location will make it much more easy for new people to the community, especially to engage with these projects, in addition to people who have lived in the community for a long time but just don't know what's going on. And I think that third piece is us recognizing we've been doing some research into like winter city design, that Central Wisconsin does a great job of creating outdoor spaces. That works for 4 months of the year. We need to have gathering spaces that also work when it's cold out, when it's, you know, raining randomly in January. People still want to get together. And so, you know, having effective winter community spaces, I think, is something we need to think through.
And I think when Greg mentioned the visibility, to me, in when you talk about the visibility of the entrepreneurship and going back to the whole concept of who are these people and what are they doing, if somebody is able to walk down Main Street and say, oh, there's the Fox, and look inside and be able to walk inside, walk through a space and see people actually working and collaborating, what an amazing welcoming experience is that compared to I have to go someplace scary and I have to go in and it's not a public space as someplace where I'm going to go and listen to music or I'm going to go to a meeting and I also see people working.
In our closing minutes here on Route 51, I'd like both of you to briefly answer the question about if there was one thing you'd want people to understand or know about CREATE Portage County. What would that be? Greg, we'll start with you.
I mean, I think the biggest thing that I want people to know is that it really is just about activating other people, and that this is something that any community can do, that there are creative people, you know, creativity is everywhere. Artists are everywhere. Innovators are everywhere. It's about whether or not they're getting access to the resources they need to be successful. And I think that, you know, there are people listening right now that are like, oh, I've got that idea. We want those people to come into us and feel empowered by us so that we can help them succeed too.
Bill. Oh, my God. That's a tough question, Rick, but I will throw it out there. One thing I would say, and to reiterate, Greg, is like your community can do it too. That when I got involved with this organization many years ago, that it's just keep pushing, keep passion alive, and just keep trying new things and allow people new ideas and fresh ideas and just give them a try and see what works in your community because everyone is singly different.
Thank you both for being here today. That's all the time we have today on Route 51. I'd like to thank our guests from Create Portage County, Greg Wright and Bill Sherrill, for joining us in the studio. Thanks to Joy Ratchkramer for producing today's program and for on-air production. John Altenberg composed the Route 51 theme. Special music today from Demi Lovato, The Classic Crime, Neil Diamond, Glenn Frey, Journey, and John Mellencamp. I'm Rick Ryer, in for Glenn Moberg. Next week, we welcome guest host Shireen Seward of the WASA Pilot and Review and discuss the multi-generational appeal of classic rock. Until then, we're heading out of town.
Well, I was born in a small town, and I live in a small town. Proud to die in a small town, oh, the small town.